This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome inside GTC. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Mark Sacchino, not on today. Mark is flying back from, I believe he was in Casa de Campo. Mark is coming back, did a couple of interviews while he was away. But Mark will be back television tomorrow night, Wednesday radio and TV throughout the day too. Bob, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Doing excellent. Great day for the Canadians. And there was, what do we have? Lots of Canadians on the tops of the leaderboards. On the, we'll get into that, I know, later on. Sorry, a little bit of feedback going on. I'm all good now. But yeah, good weekend. I wish it was just a little bit more golf friendly, let's say, around these parts.
Get out and golf, Bob? Oh. Some technical issues here a little early on this morning. That's okay. We'll figure it out. GTA, I mean, this morning it was, I wouldn't say this morning, during the weekend, the temperatures, the forecast was not so good, but I will say that I was out twice, both Saturday and Sunday. Those of us in the GTA, obviously eager to get out and play, and I did. The forecast was not great, but we got out. We played twice over the weekend. Bob, I believe we have you back. You did not get out and play?
I did not. No, I was supposed to play on Saturday, but it was a bit of a wipeout on Saturday with the rain and everything. I guess later in the day it was a little better, but so I was hoping to play this afternoon, but I'm not sure if that's going to hold out either. We're sort of calling for some rain, and it's a little cool still out there. We'll see. I don't know. I got to play with my dad, he's a fair weather golfer, so we'll see what his choice is.
Well, I mean, the forecast wasn't so good over the weekend, but I will tell you, Bob, I got out and played both days. I really did. I got out Saturday. Well, I mean, early last week, looking forward to the weekend that just occurred, the forecast, it was not so good. Not so good at all. But I got out and played both rounds. Only got rained on. Well, yesterday we got rained on for a lot of the back nine, but it was like a sprinkle, a light sprinkle, if you will. Nothing too crazy. But that's why they make good rain gear, Bob. Come on.
That's why I rained pretty much all of Saturday where I was here. Not, and as you said, just more annoying than a real heavy downpour by any means, but it was just annoying. Anyway, I want like 18 degrees and sunny and no wind. That's what I want. I'm a fair weather golfer too, I guess. Maybe it runs in the family.
Yeah, okay. I understand that. But I mean, hopefully that's coming soon. I know the temperatures are warming up at least here in the GTA. I don't think we have any more snow in the forecast, so let's leave it at that. Good things coming weather-wise in the GTA. Now, a lot going on in the world of golf, as Bob was mentioning. A couple Canadians back in the winner's circle, which was great to see. We'll also, throughout the show, discuss Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry winning the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, coming back from quite a charge, I should say, from Chad Ramey, Martin Trainer, who had to sit out for maybe 3 hours and then get back and play. That was remarkable, to say the least. Tim McLaughlin from Golf Canada joining us too, as well as TSN producer extraordinaire Jamie Rydell joining us an hour or two. But let's kick things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
Well, to kick things off, Stephen Ames. Wow. Back in the winner's circle again. Stephen Ames' sixth win in his last 29 starts on PGA Tour Champions. Before we discuss Stephen Ames and his great performance, let's hear now from Stephen Ames.
I guess I got a lot of accumulation of things that have changed over the last 2.5 years. One was the health part, where I'm in the gym more often because I hurt my shoulder during COVID years, and decided, you know, that was enough of that. I didn't like the feeling of being injured or weak and stuff like that, so I rededicated myself back into the gym. I've done that, and then I also hooked up back up with my old psychologist, Alan Fine, and then I've been with Shaheen for the last 6 years now. So we've worked on the same thing, somewhat the same things, and we've keep refining it and getting it better, where I feel a lot more comfortable when I'm playing golf, which I do right now. I feel a lot more comfortable, pick my shot, pick my aim, and just hit it. It's nice. It's just letting go, a lot easier to let go right now for me. It's always nice. There's no doubt about that one, okay? The funny thing, I was remembering when I was walking down with my son in the bag last year, so that was special. And then, of course, the way I finished off was exactly how I was with my son. So, yeah, it's special. It's always special. There's no doubt about that.
Awesome performance there for Stephen Ames, who 6 wins in his last 29 starts on PGA Tour champions. Bob, just how impressive is this run right now by Stephen Ames?
Well, he had his day yesterday, so that makes it even more impressive. I just think that he absolutely loves what he's doing right now. He's got a beautiful golf swing. He's always had a beautiful golf swing, but I think it's fine-tuned. And as he said, being healthy really helps, especially when you get into these upper ages. You know, these guys have been doing this swing and swinging this motion, one-sided body move, for over and over and over their entire careers, in some case, you know, 40 years or so. So I think for Stephen, it's really great to be seeing him do this at this age, and to be, as he said, he's just kind of got this great group of people behind him, and he's helping them all out on all different aspects, and it's paying off for him. Very nice to see.
People helping him out is Shaheen Nachjivani, swing coach, who we had on our show a couple times, I believe, last year, and does a lot of his work online remotely, which is, it's awesome to see something like this work out. And I mean, what do you think's next year for Stephen Ames, Bob? Because 6 wins and 29 starts. By the way, he just turned 60 years old. What a way to celebrate the victory. He's had this renaissance. It's been amazing to see. So what do you think is next here for Stephen Ames?
Just more of the same. Just keep going. You know, there is a end of the line for these guys, the Champions Tour guys. I think at some point they, you know, start to wear out a little bit, and the guys who are 50, the young guns, come up and start catching up to them. So I think he'll ride this for as long as he can. Just keep going. He may get 2-3 more years, whatever. We'll see if he keeps himself in shape. Look at Bernard Langer. He's coming back from a busted Achilles, but I think Stephen would love to have 2 or 3 more years, and then he can kind of fade off into his little home in Turks and Caicos and live out, looking out at the waves and the sunshine.
I remember last year, I was interviewing Stephen Ames for our Year in Review special. I know this because I had quite the Movember cookie duster going at the time, Bob. This was in November, and Stephen Ames had just finished, I believe it was his last tournament, and he had about 6 weeks off, and we did the interview at about 10 a.m., I believe, and I said, okay, what's up for the rest of your day? And he said, well, right after this interview, going right to the gym. So the guy's dedicated. The guy loves it. So good on Stephen Ames, and we are working on getting Stephen Ames on Golf Talk Canada, both for television and radio this week. Travel day for Stephen Ames today, hoping to get him on Tuesday night TV, Wednesday for radio. Now, Stephen Ames wasn't the only Canadian to win this week in the world of golf. We have Stuart McDonald as well, PGA Tour Americas. And Bob, this is back-to-back Canadians winning now on PGA Tour Americas. This is amazing to see, isn't it?
It's really great, and it's nice to see Stuart McDonald, who is a guy who is really a talented player, and is just one of those guys you sort of feel that if he just had a little bit of a nudge, that he might be able to do a little bit more with this move up, get into the Korn Ferry Tour, and then perhaps onto the PGA Tour. If you talk to Derek Ingram, who's the national team coach, Stuart's been on that team for a number of years, and he says he's got just great, great stuff going on. This is the second time, by the way, he has won in Peru. He actually won as an amateur there, the 29th Lima Golf Club International Amateur Championship way back in 2017. So good for him for doubling up in Peru, and he had his father as a caddy on the bag, which is kind of a nice treat as well.
Yeah, great story overall there for Stuart McDonald. And to update people as well, I am interviewing Stuart later this afternoon. He also is on a flight right now, playing this week as well on the Latino America Swing on PGA Tour America. Stuart McDonald will join us on television tomorrow night throughout the day, Wednesday as well. GTC Radio Wednesday, we'll hear from Stuart McDonald. But right after he won yesterday, let's hear Stuart McDonald during his press conference.
Yeah, for sure. Just try to just hang in there all day, and thought eventually my chances would come, and I was able to get a couple birdies there on the back nine. Unfortunately, gave it one away on 15. It's a really tough tee shot, and I just kind of bailed out. And then Sam making a three on 16 is unbelievable. That was a crazy shot he hit and a really good putt. And then 17 there, I just probably hit the worst part of the week from, 5 feet, didn't even touch the hole. But then 18, obviously, to hit a really good drive down there with Sam in a little bit of trouble, and then to kind of hit it safely on the green and leg it up there. It was a little stressful, but happy to be here. Yeah, I gained a lot of confidence from the win in Ottawa. And, I definitely carried that into today. And obviously, I'm going to get the 500 points, so I'm going to move up on that list. And, there's just a lot to play for every week. This is a big step forward. It means a lot. He's probably caddied for me in maybe 20 PGA Tour sanctioned events, and we've never won together. So this is kind of our first win together, and obviously to have him on the bag is so special. He was pretty sick a few months ago, and we weren't honestly really sure if he was going to make it. And he did. He's a fighter, and he fought through his sickness, and just to have him here this week caddying for me. It's unbelievable. It means the world.
Great feel-good story there for Stuart McDonald. What a win that was, and what a performance by Stephen Ames too. And Bob, before we turn the page on Canadians winning this weekend in the world of golf, how about Miles Creighton, runner-up on the Korn Ferry Tour? Bob, we almost had the trifecta, if you will.
That's right. Would have been great if the boys could have pulled something out a little better on the big tour, but we'll settle for that. Nice 63 in the final round for Miles Creighton, and he's doing well on Korn Ferry Tour, so hopefully we'll see him make some good more finishes like this and make some more good finishes like this, and maybe even get a couple of wins before the season's done. There's a good crop of young players out there right now, and it's fun to watch them succeeding.
It certainly is, and it's so much fun every week on this show talking about Canadians winning in the world of golf. That is incredible to see. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll have a full recap of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry with the win. How about a couple of Canadian pairs coming up short, but a great weekend for them. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Looking forward to a lot of fun content with our friends from Movember throughout the year. Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Weeks here. No Zucchino today. He is flying on a jet plane back from Casa de Campo. Have to discuss, wonder if Mark's fitness routine continued. Bob in Casa de Campo, I'm going to say chances are not high. What do you think, Bob?
I would say slim to none that we've got anything. If he knew, we'll have to see if he even knows where the gym is at that resort. I'm sure there's a nice gym there somewhere on the resort, but I doubt if he ever found it where it was.
I'm sure. And I shouldn't be talking much, having spent some time at Pinehurst last week, which we'll get into a little later in the show. I was nowhere near a gym, Bob, so we'll put it that way. Anyway, speaking of guys who definitely were in the gym probably last week, early in the week, Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry. They get it done. Rory McIlroy, it's his 25th career PGA Tour win for Shane Lowry. It's his first win since the 2019 Open Championship. And judging by their celebration that we saw online, which we will get into, we'll have a full breakdown in Winners, Weird, and What of some Don't Stop Believing, some Journey. Let's hear now from Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy after their win.
Absolutely amazing. You know, we've had an awesome week here in New Orleans. You know, the crowds all week have been absolutely amazing. And to get the support that we've had out there and to have so much fun while doing it, it's been an awesome week. And obviously, I feel like it's just a bonus to win at the end, but couldn't be better to have this man alongside me to get a PGA Tour win together.
How satisfying is this one for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's saying it was much needed, but you know, we felt coming into the week that we both could do with a big jump in the FedEx Cup, and we both said at the start of the week, let's go and get 400 points each, and you know, that's what we've done. I nearly feel a little bit bad taking them because Rory carried me a lot of the way, but yeah, they're mine and they're not going away.
Bobby, you can tell these guys just had so much fun, the matching kits throughout the week too. What did you think of the performance by Rory and Shane?
You know, it was sort of, I thought if they'd even had a couple more breaks, they probably could have avoided any kind of a playoff. They had a lot of good opportunities that they weren't able to close out on. But I think it's nice to see them win. I mean, this is, as we talked, I think, last week, this is kind of the thing that Rory needs. I think sort of a fun but legitimate win, still some pressure on, get into the playoff, make some clutch shots, and who knows? I mean, it's, as he said in there, you know, this is sort of a non-traditional PGA Tour event, but I'd like to think that maybe this will help him as he moves forward get a win. A win is a win, they always say on the PGA Tour. You know, it doesn't really matter how you do it, who you do it with, what the format is, but if you win, you win. So I love that idea about it, and I think hopefully we'll see some more fine play from Rory McIlroy. But I mean, these two guys, there's some great shots of these two guys on social media back when they were about like 8 or 9 years old or whatever it is, or maybe not that young, but pretty young. And they look so funny. Rory's got the big bushy hair, and Shane's got these big jowls, big cheeks popping out. And I mean, it's pretty funny to see them doing all this stuff. But I think it's a popular win. Certainly, if you're running the tournament, you'd like to see these guys win.
And that's where I was just going to go, Bob, because how much did the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, A, you know, need this field? Because it was a really pretty good field, an improved field from what we saw from the past couple of years. But to have a world-class player like Rory McIlroy and a world-class fan favorite in Shane Lowry win this tournament.
Oh, well, it's big. It's certainly big for them. And no offense to some of the other teams that were up at the top of the leaderboard, but they, you know, they don't carry the weight that Rory and Shane do. So it's great when you can put these guys on your poster for next year saying, here are the defending champs, here's what's going on. And I think it's equally good for those two guys to, as I said before, to get the win, but also to sort of do something a little bit out of the ordinary rather than just individual wins. It's good for them to kind of help out the PGA Tour in an event that was a non-signature event. When you get a marquee guys up there, I don't know what the TV numbers are going to be, but they probably are pretty good with those two guys leading the charge. So there's a lot of people pretty happy today, not just Shane and Rory. There's a lot of people who are pretty happy about what's gone on or what went on the weekend.
And from a promotional aspect, we know that firsthand Rory McIlroy wins the RBC Canadian Open, and we know whose face was number one on all of the billboards, that sort of thing, the next year when Rory McIlroy defended his title. I guess it was a couple of years after the RBC Canadian Open, given COVID, et cetera, et cetera. But for Rory McIlroy now, Bob, he had success very, very early in 2024, not on the PGA Tour, on the DP World Tour. And then a lot of between now and then, gets the win at the Zurich, now 25 career wins. What do you think a win like this could do for him? I'm looking at the PGA Championship in a couple of weeks' time, where Rory's looking for his first major in 10 years.
Yeah. You know, as I said, a win is a win. And I think anytime you come off a win, you're playing with a lot more confidence. You're pretty happy about where things are going. And it's not easy to it's not easy to roll from 1 week to the next week to the next week. Now he's got the PGA. It'll be the next time we see him, I'm assuming. I don't know. I don't know if he felt that there was any part of his game that was lacking that maybe Shane picked him up on. But I thought he played pretty well. I thought his approach shots were really good most of the week. Like, he hit a lot of shots very close, or certainly within like a 10 or 12 foot circle. His putting, I thought he had a couple of opportunities, but when you hit it so many times so close, you're going to miss one or two. But overall, I think he's got to be pretty happy about where his game is right now. And I said, just the confidence you get from holding a trophy at the end of the day, I think is a big bonus when you're going into a major championship like he is.
And something I really noticed from Rory was he had a little more swagger last week, I thought. That confidence was back. We saw the walk in his step. It's almost like a bop where he's, you know, looking over people, and just the way he was walking, I thought there was a lot of energy there. We saw some club twirls. We saw him walking after shots. And, you know, the last time he won a major championship was at Valhalla, where, hey, the PGA Championship is this year. And having watched some of those clips from 10 years ago, Rory had that. He had a lot of that. He had a lot of, I'm just better than you, and I'm going to beat you. So that's where I'm looking forward to seeing Rory get back in action. And in terms on FanDuel, I believe Rory is the second betting favorite right now, behind Scotty Scheffler right now, which is not a big surprise. But at the Zurich, how about Chad Ramey and Martin Trainer? They finish, 2 hours and 59 minutes before having to go back out in a playoff? Wow, this was quite a run just to make the playoff, wasn't it?
Yeah, two guys who could have used that win in a big way, for sure, when you look at where they are. I think one was 135 and one was 175 on the FedEx Cup standings, so they're certainly well down the list, and it would have meant, I mean, it would have been huge for them to win and get the exemption. But I think they'll settle for the big payday that they will get. I think they each got about just over $500,000 or something. So it's weird, though, but in that alternate shot, when you shoot a low number like Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin did last year, they shot a 63. When you can lap people as they were doing, it's such a hard format to play well in. And, you know, a 69 or a 68 is a really good score in that format. And yet here are these two guys going for a 63, I think they shot. And it's just, I mean, it's kind of a feel-good story in some ways, but again, I think the people at the New Orleans tournament, I think, are pretty happy that Rory and Shane won. No offense to all, because there was a bunch of other groups that were sort of cool stories, but not necessarily going to drag the eyeballs out every time you see them. Zach Blair is another guy with his buddy from from Utah and Brigham Young. But there's a lot of good stories up there that you have to dig a little deeper to find. But I think for those two guys to have to sit around and wait almost 3 hours was certainly a disadvantage.
And you could definitely see some nervy shots in that playoff too. The pitch out and the missed putt, both by Martin Trainer. It was not his best, but hey, they made the playoff. They made it that far. As for Rory McIlroy's PGA Championship odds on FanDuel, plus 1,100 right now, second shortest. Oh, Scotty Scheffler, just plus 350, only plus 350, which is still crazy, crazy to think about. But you mentioned Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, a 10th place finish. We saw their walk and talk during the third round with CBS. You got to think these guys love the way they played at Zurich, and you've got to think, Bob, that Mike Weir had this on his telly after playing on PGA Tour Champions, and this should be a pretty good duo come Royal Montreal. What do you think?
Yeah, I think those two and probably Corey Connors are pretty much locks right now. Now, it depends on what happens with Mac Hughes. Mac is a great putter, and that's certainly an asset in team play. And we'll see what he can do. He's, I think, 20 points behind, or 20 spots behind Corey Connors in the world ranking, maybe a little bit more, but he's playing. Mac is the only one of them that's playing this week. But I think a comfortable duo like Taylor and Hadwin, both of whom are pretty good under the heat of the light, the strobe lights, or the spotlights, I should say. You know, they, as we know, Nick Taylor loves to get in there and feel the pressure and the tension, and I think Adam Hadwin's pretty good at it too. And he's got a couple of President's Cups behind him, which is also something that'll help out. So we'll see what happens with those two. But that's if you're like you said, if you're Mike Weir, you got to like what you see from those two.
Yeah, right now, Nick Taylor currently fourth on the International President's Cup team standings. Adam Hadwin's 10th. Corey Connors is 11th right now. Mackenzie Hughes currently 17th. Adam Svensson should also mention he is 19th. And before we fully turn the page on the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, Bob, as you know, I was not on the show last Wednesday, so I didn't hear any of it. But I understand that you and Mark had the exact same teams for our PGA Tour picks, which, I mean, we might have to talk to the commissioner about that in itself. But, hey, you guys were both victorious, so I have to congratulate both of you. You guys both had Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy at plus 700. And now, Bob, I'm further in last, so I'm not really sure.
Well, Mark and I hadn't really coordinated. We didn't share notes before the before it started, and we were laughing so hard when we both came up with the exact same teams. But I don't. I'll bet you if you canvassed maybe 100 people who would have done the same thing, those three names would have come up quite a few. Maybe not on all three on everyone's ballot, but those were had to be the most three or the three most popular names for betting going in there. And I don't know. It's nice to get another win, but I thought maybe I could get up a little, get a peg higher than Zacchino. It's tough when he keeps picking all the same ones I do.
And Mark now, two straight wins, three wins in his last 4 weeks. Wow. And Scottie Scheffler has certainly helped him in a big way with that. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, it's been a good start to the year with our friends from Golf Canada. When our show returns, their CMO, Tim McLaughlin, is going to join the show. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit WeatherTech.ca.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Weeks here. Zacchino back tomorrow night for TV. Well, we are early in 2024, but the golf season is now up and running here in the GTA and majority of Canada too. And for a full check-in on what's been going on early in 2024 and what's to come, i.e. the RBC Canadian Open and much more, I had a chance to recently speak with Golf Canada CMO Tim McLaughlin.
For a full check-in on all things Golf Canada, now joining us, good friend of the show, Tim McLaughlin, Golf Canada CMO. Tim, what's going on, man? Welcome to GTC.
Great to be with you, Adam. It's obviously an exciting time of year as we see golf courses starting to open in most parts of the country and people are getting out there and playing.
People are getting out there and playing, for sure. And there's a couple of cool initiatives that we'll get into today, starting with the Golf and Health campaign. Tell us a little about this.
Yeah, so some of you might have seen that Golf Canada has launched Golf It's Good For You, which is our new golf and health campaign. And it really came out of some work we did really trying to understand, firstly, Canadians. And one thing we understand about Canadian consumers at large is that they're increasingly prioritizing their own physical and mental health. And through some of the great work that some other golf organizations have done, there's just some really strong and significant research around the role that golf can play in terms of improved physical and mental health. And you know, further on that, we were looking at golfers specifically. Only about 30% of current golfers understand the connection between playing golf and improved physical and mental health. And then actually only about 10% of non-golfers believe that golf improves physical and mental health. And so this campaign was sort of inspired by that. And the idea behind it is really to juxtapose maybe some things you think you know about golf, which with some things that you might not know, that golf is potentially going to add 5 years to your life, that golf can help reduce the risk of over 40 chronic diseases. And so there's a whole host of physical benefits that are gained through playing golf. And the best part about it is it's accessible to so many, right? You can play it for your entire life and can be modified for all various types of disabilities. And so the message really here is that get out there and play golf and it'll improve your physical and mental health.
That's very well said, my friend. And how long has this been in the works?
We've been working on it for about a year, and we launched it in conjunction with World Health Day earlier in April. And so that was really the kickoff to the campaign, and you'll see us, you know, continuing to talk about it all year long. There's been some other things we've done to help, you know, bring this message to life and also make it easier for Canadians to track their progress. So the Golf Canada app, which is the number one golf app in Canada, now has health features built into it. So you'll be able to track how many steps you've walked on a golf round. You'll be able to track how much elevation you've gained. Also, if you're wearing a wearable device, you'll be able to track your heart rate. So when you look back at the end of the season, you'll be able to see I walked 75 kilometers or you know, gained the elevation of the equivalent of Mount Everest, potentially, if you're actually walking some of those hilly courses that we know exist in many parts of the country. So it's just a great way for Canadians to get a better sense of the impact that golf is really having on some of those things.
That's the Golf and Health campaign, health.golfcanada.ca for much more on that. Let's move along here now to the National Golf League. And we had a conversation about this on our show last year. But for those who aren't familiar with this, give our audience a sense of what this is all about.
Well, we're really, really excited about year two of the BDO National Golf League. BDO has come on board as a significant partner with the National Golf League. And so this year will be the second year of play. And the way that it works is essentially the BDO National Golf League is a network of existing recreational golf leagues. Last year, we had about 120 existing recreational golf leagues. This year, we're targeting about 160. We could get up as high as 200. And the way it works is people will go out and play in their regular men's or ladies' night and keep score as they always would. But in the background, the BDO National Golf League will collect those scores and use those to build a national leaderboard. So your club will have an individual leaderboard for your specific league. And through that, you'll have the opportunity to qualify for provincial qualifiers. And then if you're successful in those provincial qualifiers, the next step would be to advance to the BDO National Golf League Championship. And we're excited that all of the people that participated in the NGL last year will have the opportunity to play the BDO National Championships this year, the Saturday before the RBC Canadian Open at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. So an amazing experience for those that are part of the National Championship and will be sort of the first, where we will be crowning the first BDO National Golf League champion in a couple of weeks.
That's an incredible opportunity to play a world-class golf course that'll be in world-class shape heading into the RBC Canadian Open. And I understand the winner from there gets an exemption and an all-inclusive trip somewhere a little outside of Canada. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this is a really cool add-on that we've been working with our partners at the RNA. For those that aren't aware, the RNA is the global governing body of golf. They operate the Open Championship. And so they actually operate a program called the RNA 9, which is somewhat similar to what we're doing with the BDO National Golf League. But essentially, the winner of the BDO National Golf League Championship will have the opportunity to have an exemption into the RNA 9, which takes place at the Open course this year at Royal Troon, a couple weeks before the Open Championship. One of the majors will be taking place there. So they'll have an opportunity to play, obviously, an amazing links-style golf course with an all-expense trip to the UK. So it's a pretty neat opportunity. And so we're excited about that. And also excited about kicking off the regular season, which will take place shortly thereafter the national championship. So we are getting to the point where we don't have a lot of spots left. So if you're interested, talk to your league manager, your league administrator, and see if it's possible to have your league join the National Golf League.
Oh, that's so exciting and so great to hear for this opportunity going ahead. And as we go ahead here, we're coming pretty close to the RBC Canadian Open. Date change, it's a little earlier than it has been in the past. How are preparations going right now?
Well, if anyone's been out to Hamilton Golf and Country Club, you might have seen a lot of significant structures being built around the course. One of the benefits of having what was maybe a bit more of a mild winter here in Ontario was that we've been really able to get ahead of a lot of the build out that needs to happen. I can say confidently this will be, in terms of size and scale, by far the largest RBC Canadian Open on record. So we're tracking towards having our biggest crowds, our biggest hospitality build out. And so we're super excited about hosting the world's best players there at the end of May. Obviously, we're up a week earlier this year, but we're tracking towards what will be an amazing event. And We're excited about a couple key player announcements that'll be happening over the next couple of weeks as well. We've announced the SiriusXM Concert Series is back this year, or is new this year, on Friday and Saturday. So there's lots of really exciting things for golf fans and sports fans alike.
And before we wrap, I mean, everyone knows where they were watching when Nick Taylor sunk that historic, iconic "Where Were You When" moment last year. And the logo for this year's RBC Canadian Open is a little different. How excited are you to see Nick Taylor back on Canadian soil with that new logo, with a chance to defend it and make history again?
Obviously, very special moment. I think it's one of those moments where you'll always remember where you were for all Canadians that sort of experienced that iconic moment in Canadian sport. And so sort of as a marketing team here at Golf Canada and with the RBC Canadian Open, we've really leaned into it and tried to do whatever we can, firstly, to sort of celebrate this iconic moment. And so many of your viewers will know that we obviously changed the logo from the traditional swingman to incorporate in Nick's now iconic putter flip. So it's actually part of the core identity of the event now, which is really exciting. And we're also really excited that we've just launched a content series called A Win for Canada, which is a really deep look at how that moment touched not only Nick, but a lot of other people in and around the sport of golf. So we talked with all of the other Canadian PGA Tour pros that were there on the green to experience it, which is sort of a unique Canadian moment. You don't see that very often, where you'll see, you know, four or five players there rooting on their guy. We'll talk to GTC's own Mark Zacchino, who obviously called it on PGA Tour radio. So it'll just be an interesting opportunity to look at how, you know, Nick's win obviously was a great moment for Nick, but it was also, you know, an iconic moment in Canadian sport, I think, as well. So if you're interested in checking out some of the content that we built out, it'll be on Golf Canada's social media channels, as well as a number of places leading up to the event.
Well, we're getting closer and closer to the RBC Canadian Open, and so many exciting other initiatives happening with Golf Canada early here in 2024. Tim, thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Great to catch up there with Tim McLaughlin, all things Golf Canada. Bob, how excited are you for the RBC Canadian Open? Because first round gets underway 1 month from tomorrow.
Oh, and they, yeah, I was sitting there like, Tuesday? Wait a minute. Yeah, no, that's right. It won't be short of fans, I don't think, from what I hear. The ticket sales are going really well. We're going to have a chance to look at the golf course next week and see if some of the improvements. I have not seen the changes that have been made to the golf course since the last time we were visiting down there for the Open Championship. And we've got Nick Taylor obviously coming back, and we've also got Rory McIlroy coming back. So the last couple of winners, it's always popular, and the rink, I'm sure, will be jammed as it was before. So they're doing a great job with this tournament. It really has become a big part of the summer sports calendar for a lot more people than it used to be. It used to be a little quieter, a little more sedate, a little older. Now I think it's a little bit more of a raucous crowd, but in a good way. I think it's really come a long way, and people like Tim are a big reason why.
Mentioned too, we've got some player announcements coming for the field very soon, and next week on GTC we'll have a full preview of the RBC Canadian Open, very likely with tournament director Brian Crawford. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll look ahead to hour two. We'll talk a little 20 weeks of TaylorMade and Nelly Korda, who isn't playing this week, but Bob, you did a fun little segment on SportsCenter last week looking at some numbers on Nelly Korda. We'll discuss that much more next.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Welcome back inside GTC, Scully and Weeks here. Well, Bob, 20 weeks of TaylorMade is fully up and running here, as we always do. 20 weeks of the year, we give away tailor-made products. And it could be drivers, could be bags, could be golf balls. This week we're giving away 6 dozen of the SpeedSoft Ink golf balls, the great new unique design that TaylorMade has on these balls at a lower price point too. And Bob, we had a little fun with our friends from TaylorMade and Golf Town a couple of weeks ago, probably 10 days ago now. I believe that's going to be released sometime this week. I'll try to get an answer on that soon. Have you hit balls outside yet, Bob? I know you didn't play over the weekend. No, nothing yet? No? Okay.
Not an egg outside, at least not in this country. We'll see. Maybe this afternoon. Maybe. We'll see. Touch wood.
Yeah, hopefully it is okay. But if you don't get out this afternoon, hopefully you do get out this weekend. And then hopefully we get out next Monday for RBC Canadian Open Media Day. Not sure if we'll be paired together, partner together, who knows. But like you, I haven't played Hamilton since the Renault. I've driven right past the golf course a bunch of times. One of the Sports Center suit suppliers is right across the street, quite literally. So I've driven right past it. I've done a little walk by or drive by, I guess I should say, but haven't actually seen the golf course. So really looking forward to it. And in regards to 20 weeks of TaylorMade, stay tuned to our social media channels. We will announce the winner this week, coming out tomorrow morning, maybe this afternoon. We'll see what our social media team thinks about that when that will be released. Okay, Bob, speaking of TaylorMade, Nelly Korda, member of Team TaylorMade. She's won 5 straight times. 5 straight times in professional golf, which is remarkable to say the least. And I just watched your piece that aired, I believe, on SportsCenter last Tuesday or Wednesday, and some numbers are remarkable. One thing I did notice, 61 under par in 5 tournaments. That's remarkable.
It's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, it's there were so many different stats. It's sort of like Scottie Scheffler when, I think before we were talking about how he was number one in 28 different statistical categories. And now you've got Nelly Korda doing something similar with so many different categories. And as you said, 61 under par over a 5-tournament stretch. She won 2 of her tournaments in playoffs, by the way. One was a major championship. She was also 76% of greens in regulation over that tournament, which is unbelievable as well. And 3.6 strokes gained total per round she picked up. So she was picking up 3.5 shots on the field in every single one of her rounds. And that number is mind-boggling in itself. I don't know what you think of that, but that's just off the charts.
I wish we were on TV for that. My jaw dropped like I walked onto Augusta National for the first time. It was a similar reaction. 3.6 per round? So if my math is correct, that's over 14 shots per tournament, is that right?
So yeah, something like that, I guess. I mean, some of them are pretty wild, and you know, there are some pretty varying gaps in the field, so you can see how when she's scoring at, you know, 6 or 7 under, there's some obviously some people who are not playing all that well as well. It sort of balances that out. And then if you just go look at the Chevron Championship, she was 10 under at on the par fives at the Chevron. She had a 4.33 scoring average on the par fives, which is pretty remarkable. So that's like, you know, picking up 0.7 of a shot on the par fives, and 47 under par on just the par fives over her 5-tournament stretch. So a 61 under par total, but 47 under on the par fives over the 5-tournament stretch, which is just remarkable.
That's sounding rather Tiger in his prime-esque, just really yeah, dominating the par fives and playing well other than that. And Korda, also the first American to win 5 times in a season, period, in 25 years. Bob, she's done it in 5 tournaments.
Yeah, that's right. And she's taking a little break. There's no tournament that she took last week off. There's no tournament this week. So when she gets back into it, the streak is still alive and still continuing, as is Scottie Scheffler's. But I think these two together, when you think about it, they've played their last 10 tournaments, there's only been one player, Steven Yeager, who's beat either of them, which I think is a remarkable stat. And that was only because, in large extent, because Scottie Scheffler missed about a 4-foot putt to get himself into a playoff. Now, no telling whether Yeager would have beat him, But I mean, I think right now, when you look at what Nelly Korda is doing, it's exactly what the LPGA Tour needs, drawing attention to it, bringing it into to a non, let's say, a non-hardcore golf audience. making some attention to it. So, and I think when she gets to play, I think next week, I think there'll be a lot more eyes on that to see if she can do it again. And if it was a regular weekend, we would probably not be paying quite as much attention, or we would be focused as we usually do on the Canadians, including Brooke Henderson. So I think this is a great story, and we'll see how far she can make it go.
So Nelly Korda's on an historic run to kick off 2024. Brooke Henderson's been on a great run to kick off 2024, the five top tens in eight starts. She doesn't have a win yet, but still five top tens in eight starts. That's pretty good, Bob. So you got to think, if Nelly Korda doesn't win her sixth straight, this could be Brooke Henderson getting her first win of the season. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I mean, Brooke has some pretty impressive numbers too. When you break down what her season's like, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's, I wouldn't call it magical, but I think she has had some impressive numbers. She's got, she's had five top 10 finishes, I think, this year. Is that right? I think that's right. And if you look at some of the other numbers, her scoring average, there's only two players on the LPGA Tour who have scoring average under 70, Nelly Korda and Brooke. And Brooke is at 69.87. She always tells me that that's the way she judges how she's playing. If her scoring average is below 70, she's happy. If they are not, then she needs to do a little bit of work. She's also got 127 birdies this year, which is second best on tour. And she's second best in rounds under par at 23 rounds under par. So there's some pretty interesting numbers that show that she is having, you know, if it wasn't for Nelly Korda, she'd probably be having one of the best years going on the LPGA Tour. And lots to keep going. Her, by the way, her greens in regulation average 73.48, so that's good. And her putting is actually not bad. She's 53rd in putting, and she's positive. She's 0.46 strokes gained putting. Last year, she was 0.25. So you can see that that she's improved almost by double her putting stats and her putting stroke this year. So that's always a good sign for her.
A great sign for her. And I think a real turning point, just my opinion anyway, personally, was Brooke wearing glasses, where she did for the first time last year at the CPKC Women's Open, because as someone who wears glasses a lot, like I do now, if you're not wearing them and you can't see where the ball's going, it's pretty hard to play golf, Bob. It's pretty hard to read long putts. And I know her sister does tend the flagstick a lot. But hey, for Brooke Henderson, a great start to the season. Five top tens in eight starts. Okay, that wraps up hour one here on GTC. Coming up in hour two, we'll have Winners, Weird, and What. We'll also have a little recap of LIV Golf Adelaide and some news from the DP World Tour that could impact a couple of Ryder Cup mainstays for sure. But to begin hour two, Jamie Rydell is going to join the show for a full recap on Zurich and his take on both Nelly Korda and Scottie Scheffler. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by PlayGolf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour 1 of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit GolfTalkCanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Golf Talk Canada rolls on hour two, the back nine here on GTC. Scully and Weeks here. Zacchino back for TV tomorrow night and throughout the day Wednesday, as well as radio on Wednesday too. To kick off hour two, now joining us on the line, good friend of the show, making his first appearance since our Masters radio preview show, which got rave reviews, let me tell you, is Jamie Rydell. Jamie, what's going on, my man?
Not much, Scully. How's it going?
We are great right now. And you know who else is great right now? Stephen Ames. Hey, Jamie, 60 years old, wins for the sixth time in 29 starts on the Champions Tour. Just how impressive is this run in your mind?
impressive run, actually. And he's just really loved, he's really embraced the Champions Tour, hasn't he? Like, he, it's so relaxed out there. He can live down in Turks. He can play when he wants. And it shows when you're relaxed and confident and you're having fun, you could win. And it's, you know, it's been quite a success story for him since he joined the Champions Tour. I think it's 8 wins he's up to now, which is pretty incredible. So I love seeing it. It's almost like every week that Stevie's in the mix.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said he's enjoying life out there. If you look at his social media, you know, there's lots of shots of him working hard, working on the range, working with his instructors. But then there's also shots of him sort of sitting back with other players, having a glass of wine out with their significant others. And I think that's the perfect lifestyle for Stephen Ames. Like, he's a guy who I think enjoys the bigger part of life, and he enjoys doing a lot of nothing in some certain cases. That's why he probably fits so well at Turks and Caicos. He can just walk out his door to the patio and look at the ocean and things. But I think that is almost as much of a part of this as is anything else.
Yeah, and he has his son on the bag at times, and like, how good is that for him? Like, just another part. It's just been so enjoyable for him, and it's fun to watch for us because it's great that we have a Canadian that's doing so well out there.
And it's great too, Jamie, that we had another win, Stuart McDonald on PGA Tour Americas. And Bob and I had this discussion in hour one, but isn't it awesome that every week we have the discussion about whether a Canadian is winning, whether it's the PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, PGA Tour Americas Champions Tour, or in contention week in, week out? The strength of Canadian golf right now, maybe, is at an all-time high.
Yeah, it for sure is. And, you know, Miles Craig was second in, on the Korn Ferry. And, you know, you've had past guys like guys on the tour like Ben Silverman, Adam Spence, and they've won on the Korn Ferry and then come up to the PGA Tour. Roger Sloan, another one. You know, it's like the whole pyramid rule where you got to build out the base, and then that'll get more people to the top. And that's what we're seeing in Canadian golf right now. There's just so many players. Like, there's players winning junior events. There's players winning on the NCAAs, and there's so much depth for that wide pyramid base that eventually we're going to see, you know, what we see right now on the PGA Tour, just 7-8 Canadians on tour every year, possibly, hopefully more, and then we'll get more on the LPGA Tour. So it's just the way Golf Canada has built the growth of the sport. Just to hit their goals of 30-plus players on both of the major tours within, you know, the next 5, 6, 7 years.
Kevin Blue is gone. The guy who made that statement, he's left to look after Canada soccer. So I don't know if we still have to hold ourselves to that goal, do we? I don't know. We'll have to see how that works. But he's got his hands full. He's got his hands full with that job. I'll tell you that much. That's for sure. I wanted to switch in, and after the big win with McIlroy and Lowry, I want to know: do you think that is going to help Rory as he gets set to go for try and end the 10-year drought at the place where he won his last major championship at the PGA in Valhalla? Do you think this will boost his chances of winning?
Well, we kind of talked about that at the Masters too a little bit. Like, Rory continuously has struggles at the Masters all the time. But, you know, we kind of said he's got to win something else, and then maybe come next year at the Masters, it'll help him. So I honestly think that this was the perfect tournament for him to win, because he's playing a team event. He's got his good buddy with him, and he can just freewheel. And maybe now that good feeling carries over through the rest of the year, because he's hitting the ball great. And we just need him to be consistent. Isn't that the problem, guys? Right? Like, he's just not consistent. He just makes dumb mistakes that cost him a bunch of strokes. And then at the end of the day, he's out of contention. But I think this win will just kickstart him, I think. Like, he needed this. He was struggling on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, struggling big time on the PGA Tour. And we spent a lot of our Masters preview shows when discussing Rory, talking about how he had gone and seen Butch Harmon and how he was working on his takeaway a lot. And those changes really coming into fruition in a big way this time around. And, you know, Rory's last major win, that 2014 PGA Championship, that final round, like, when you look at what actually happened, that was a wild day of golf. Jamie, were you there on location at Valhalla that day?
I was not. I was not, unfortunately, because I was doing CFL, but I watched the entire thing, and it was just that whole way the back nine happened on that was incredible. And the fact that it almost ended in dark, which is another great thing, but it's, you know, we missed those times with Rory. He's had some close calls. He's had some close calls since then, 10 years. It's crazy that it's been 10 years. Like, we were talking this morning, guys, on our golf chat, and it's that stat is unbelievable that he hasn't won in 10 years. Like, in his 20s, like, most of his 20s and early 30s, he hasn't won. Like, that's nuts to think about, right, for a guy of his stature who's won 40 times around the world. And, man, it's but that, you know, that's what Rory could be, electric. Like, that's the Rory we want, right? The one that chases down guys at the end and wins majors.
It's by the way, that tournament didn't finish, almost finished in the dark. It finished in the dark. I was there. The only thing that was keeping that 18th green that had any light on it at all were the televisions from the clubhouse, which were all bright and they were shining on. Right. There. It was kind of like people pulling their cars in and putting their headlights on it or something. But it was basically black, but nobody wanted to come back the next day, except for Phil Mickelson, who took offense to them having to finish in the dark. But I think that you hit the nail on the head there, that, you know, maybe this win will sort of project Rory, and this is something he needed more than he may have realized. And he does have a bad habit of making a two or three either missed opportunities or mistakes in each round, it seems like. And right. Those just seem to cost him, which is something he never did. When you look at how he won in Congressional, for example, how he just lapped the field and every shot seemed to be going in or going where it was supposed to go. And he just seems to, I don't know if there's something, if the courses are harder now or what it is, but mm-hmm. there's always one or two moments during a round. And yet I saw him more this week with a smile on his face than I've seen him. And then I think I've seen him on a golf course with a smile. And so maybe he's going to be able to sort of convey that into his golf game and, you know, swing happy. Maybe that's what his theme should be as he plays in the next part of this summer.
Yeah, we can't imagine how much pressure there is on Rory just from himself, because he knows he's one of the better players out there and in history. And the fact that he's still sitting on four majors 10 years after winning four pretty quickly, you know, that, I guess maybe that would suck the joy out of it for any of us if we were competitive people. But I think you're right. Swing happy, man. Just go out there and play. And if he gets one of these majors, then I think what we were talking about at the Masters is that will propel him to maybe, now that pressure's off. He doesn't have to win the Masters, so not only get the Grand Slam and another major. It's just the career Grand Slam. I've won a major since, and maybe now that can, if he gets one of these next three, you know, whether it's Valhalla, Pinehurst, or Troon, that maybe come next year's Masters, there's a different Rory coming to Augusta.
In conversation with Jamie Rydell, and the last time Rory McIlroy won a major, Guardians of the Galaxy, the number one movie of 2014. Top song in 2014, Happy by Pharrell Williams. Speaking of songs, Jamie, I'm sure you saw Rory McIlroy doing some Brilliant. Karaoke. Bob and I are going to have a full breakdown of that performance, go very deep in depth on that. Mike, simple question to you is, what is your number one karaoke song?
My number one karaoke song is Mr. Brightside by The Killers. That's the one I kind of gravitate towards. For mine, I've done it in many places across Canada. I did close out a karaoke party that we had for figure skating with Kelly Clarkson's Because of You. And that was not good. It was not a good rendition. But, again, when you're up on stage and drinks have been had, this is what happens. You sing Kelly Clarkson.
It probably sounded better, too, for the people who had drinks in hand.
Right, exactly. Victoria has never recovered from that.
I just can't imagine that. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know where to go from that, Scully. I'm lost here.
Okay, no, that's, you know, Jamie, a couple things. First of all, Mr. Brightside, also my go-to, so we'll have to think about...
We got a duet sometimes, Scully.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have to definitely get to that. Okay, getting back to golf, not sure what Nelly Korda's number one karaoke song is, but definitely want to find out. But hey, Jamie, you were a big part of the segment that Weeksy did last week on taking like a deeper dive into the numbers, the stats of Nelly Korda's historic run. What do you make of this? I mean, five straight wins on a professional golf tour is just remarkable. What do you make of Nelly Korda's run?
That in itself is remarkable. And I think the major part, Weeksy, that you said was that they've all been in different situations. You know, Scotty's won 4 out of 5. They've been stroke play events. You know, yeah, one was a major, but Nelly did it in a stroke play, match play, a major, and in playoffs. So I think in those circumstances, the fact that she's been able to rise to the occasion, like she didn't finish the stroke play in first when she won the match play. I think that part of it, just having to do it in different aspects and not necessarily dominating everyone, like Scotty has been pretty much dominant for most of his, I think that aspect of it, doing it in different formats and in different with different pressures, has been impressive. But like, she hits the ball so well. Like we've said it enough. All of us have, right? Like, her swing is just one of the best out there right now, and she seems so poised. And you know, after she had the health scare back, 2 years ago, I think, she had mentioned this in one of her press conferences that she'd been struggling to get back to where she was. Well, now that struggle is over, and man, she's up there every single week, and it's going to be hard to stop her when she's playing this confident. Don't you guys think?
I think it is, but I think at one point, I don't know. I think it's a little easier if you're on the PGA Tour. You get used to more of the attention, where on the LPGA Tour, I'm not sure if you do, because there's sort of a smaller spotlight, let's say, if you're not. Unless you're Nelly Korda winning 5 times. So I'm wondering how much the off-course stuff will affect what Nelly is able to do as opposed to, say, just the on-course performance. I think she's more than capable, obviously. She's going to come in after 2 weeks rest as well, which is great. Right. You don't get to do that too often on these streaks. But I wonder if the off-course stuff will start to sort of take its toll on her. She's a person who likes to sort of just go back to her hotel room, shut the door, and be quiet and not do with a lot of stuff. She sort of said that. That's really one of the things that's helped her. She's got a simpler life now these days. She said a simpler golf swing, simpler everything. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how she handles what'll be, I'm sure, a increased focus on her when she gets back to the next tournament.
And the 2 week break will be interesting too, because she's got all this momentum. She had all this momentum for 5 straight wins, and it'll be interesting how that handles, whether she loses that momentum or because she was able to take a breath after a major, that in 2 weeks' time she can provide us with the same fireworks that she does on the golf course with possibly a 6th win, which would be the most in LPGA history.
100%. And, you know, Nelly Korda, I mean, remarkable 5 wins, 5 consecutive wins. She has been so much fun to watch. Okay, Jamie, before we let you go, we were looking at FanDuel a little earlier in the show and looking ahead to that PGA Championship. Rory McIlroy, 2nd shortest odds, plus 1,100 or 11-1. Scottie Scheffler's odds right now are plus 350 to win the PGA Championship. Scottie Scheffler's odds to win the next 3 majors? 40-1. 40-1. What do you think about that, Jamie?
That is incredible. Like, those numbers are just incredible, isn't it? Like,
remarkable.
To win the Grand Slam, he's 40-1. Like, that's ridiculous.
I don't think I would take that bet.
Well, I don't think so either, but you can't even, like, is it even worth betting at plus 350? Like,
no.
I'm like, it's not even a good, like, it's incredible that number is that low for the PGA Championship. Has he even played Valhalla before? I doubt it, but like, that's, oh, man, like the fact that the next guy is plus 11, and if Rory didn't win, would he be plus 1,100 if he didn't win on the weekend? Because he would be updated from that.
It's a good question, you know, because Jon Rahm and Ludvig Åberg, actually, the next two on the odds book, a plus 1,500.
Yeah. And you got a guy, like two guys that are kind of not playing the best in John Rahm and Brooks on LIV that are plus 2,100 and plus 1,500. That just shows you how dominant Scotty is. I'm telling you, this putter thing, if it keeps going, which it hasn't slowed in five tournaments, you know, it seems to be the missing formula. And maybe, you know, it'll be interesting. Like everybody, like we've kind of said, like his wins have been early in the year. Almost all of them, right? Almost all of his career wins have been early in the year. Mm-hmm. Let's see how he does in the summer. If he can, you know, with a lot of condensed tournaments, you know, he's going to have by the PGA, he should have a new baby. See how that affects him. But that might be the only thing that can stop him. No rest because he's a new parent. Right?
That's right. We've been through diapers. That. Like, changing diapers.
Changing diapers and... I would love to see if he went and changed the diaper in the middle of his round at the PGA Championship, just had to pop over, and then hit one to like 4 feet and make birdie. That'd be incredible.
That would be quite the accomplishment, quite the scene, actually, too. But Scottie Scheffler not playing this week, but we'll be back in the field for the PGA Championship. Betting favorite, shocking, at plus 350. Jamie, thanks so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it, my friend.
It was fun, guys. Thanks for having me.
Fun as always. That is TSN producer extraordinaire Jamie Reidel. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, Jamie mentioned a couple of guys on LIV, Brooks Koepka, John Rahm. We'll discuss their performances at LIV Golf Adelaide, where the atmosphere was rowdy, but a little dangerous, too. We'll get into that much more next.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit CobbleBeach.com today.
Boy, oh boy, taking a look at Cobble Beach's Instagram account right now, it is looking pure, to say the least. Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Weeks here. Winners, Weird and What, coming up in our next segment. But this past week on LIV Golf, they were playing LIV Golf Adelaide. Pretty crazy atmosphere on their party hole, as they call it. The winner, Brendan Steele, a one-shot victory over Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel. Bob, did you see the video of Lucas Herbert's caddy just getting pelted with a water bottle on the party hole?
Yeah, he got full water bottle. I don't know what the deal is about people throwing full water bottles. You got to drink it and throw the empty ones out there. Yeah, he got drilled right in the head. They sort of liken that one to Phoenix and the party hole down there, but I don't know. It's not quite as big, but it's still very loud, and it's very bordering on obnoxious from what I was able to see from the highlights. But I'll tell you what, I'll give Liv full credit for this week, because that's a big tournament. I played golf when we were visiting with our friends from Adidas in Hawaii earlier this year. I played golf with three Australians. And one of the guys was sort of something to do with one of the organizing groups. And he said that LIV is super popular in Australia. And you could see that by the crowds. They said a reported 96,000 people came over the 3 days, which would be similar to what the Canadian Open gets, maybe a little under that. But the fact that they were able to draw such a huge crowd sort of tells you, you know, where LIV's strengths are. And that's not obviously in the United States, where they're drawing more crowds, but not nearly anything that would make it look like a professional golf tournament in terms of PGA Tour standards. But this one in Adelaide, to me, is kind of where their strength could be in different places and different markets, where you're bringing these names who don't normally go there.
And you mentioned, yeah, it's a great... It was a pretty, the atmosphere was wild, I have to say that for sure. And good on the Australian fans getting out there. The atmosphere looked crazy. I should also mention too, tied for third, John Rahm, Joaquin Niemann, Brooks Koepka finishing tied for ninth, along with Abraham Anser. And speaking of John Rahm, some news coming out over the weekend about his potential eligibility for the 2025 Ryder Cup, along with Tyrrell Hatton. And these two both have a good chance to make that European Ryder Cup team, don't they, Bob?
Yeah, the new commissioner, Guy Kinnings, has sort of found some sort of a loophole which allows them to they're still members of the DP World Tour. They have not resigned like so many of the other players did, but they will have to sort of finagle something, which I'm not quite sure how they're going to do it. They're supposed to be able to – they have to play four tournaments on the DP World Tour. Now, the Olympics counts as one of those tournaments. So for Jon Rahm, who plans on playing for Spain, he said that you have to play three tournaments. And I don't know how they're going to let them back in, and I'm not sure if the live contract that they sign when they go over there will allow them to play those tournaments on there. I'm not sure. So the next little while is going to be interesting. Of course, they've got a year and a half to sort of figure it all out, whether they can do it or not for the next Ryder Cup. But that would be a huge boost for the European team's chances to have Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton.
It certainly would. And whenever we hear any news about any potential merger breaking or any progress on that front, we'll be sure to update you on that. Okay, when GTC returns, winners, weird and what, coming up next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside GTC, Scully and Weeks here. All right, it's time now for Winners, Weird, and What. This week, Bob, you have the team.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, well, my winner this week takes us back down under to Adelaide, and it's Cam Smith, the lovable and captain of the Rippers and the Australian team that won the team championship in the first ever playoff. We should admit that there was a playoff for the team championship. And with a four-player team, I wasn't quite sure how that works, but they take two players and they go head-to-head against two other players, and their total score is what counts. And Smith and Leishman ended up getting the win. By the way, they set the scoring record, both teams, at 53 under par, so that was pretty good. But I'm not picking him for that for the winner. My winner is Cam Smith because he did a shoey, and this is something that I didn't really know. I guess it's something in Australia where you fill a shoe full of beer or your favorite alcohol, and then you have to drink it out of the shoe. And it's a little bit gross to me, but I guess it's a big thing. Anyway, Cam Smith was invited to do a shoey in front of a lot of people, and he got it done, just sucked her right back. I don't know. I'm hoping he wasn't in the middle of a tournament when he was doing this. I think it was afterwards. He did it a second time at a concert. You know how they always have the concerts at the tournaments. And he went on stage, and the disc jockey had him do a shoey, or the DJ, I should say, had him do a shoey. So if you don't know what a shoey is, you can go on social media, and there's lots of examples of Cam Smith drinking out of a shoe. I don't know if you have to win before you do it. I think you just do it. I guess you've never done it, looking by the look on your face, Adam.
I am glad I didn't eat before this show, because that sounds disgusting, and we'll definitely be showing that on television this week. Bob, I think in NASCAR, they do something with milk, something similar.
Yeah, milk, I don't know if they drink it out of a shoe, but I know that they drink milk at the Indianapolis 500. The winner gets a quart of milk. I'm not sure why they would want to do that. They may have taken a sip out of the shoe as well, maybe just to add to it, but I don't know. Both sound a little bit gross to me. My weird this week is something that a fan did at the tournament on the weekend in Zurich, the New Orleans tournament, and it was Brant Snedeker was on the tee. Now, Brant's trying to still recover from some pretty serious injuries he had. He was playing a shot and was hoping that the wind was going to grab it and push his ball left, but as soon as he hit it, the wind died, so the ball stayed right, went over into the crowd, and some guy, I guess, who's never been to a golf tournament before, grabbed it on the one hop. He made a great grab. It was sort of like almost like a fielder in the outfield grabbing the one hopper, and he grabbed it, and I think he was actually going to turn around and throw it or something. I guess he didn't realize that it was in play. He figured, oh, well, I'll just stop it here because they're going to have to put it back out on the field. And all his buddies, you can see, were just kind of deserting him there. He dropped it right away when they figured out what was happening. But I've seen people and little kids, you know, pick up ball maybe that stopped or something. But I've never seen this one on the one hopper. It was a good grab. He's probably a pretty good baseball player. But I've never seen anybody do that, at least nobody of that age, Adam.
Yeah, and it wasn't like it was going at his face. You know, he wasn't doing it out of protection. He was just snagging it like a shortstop and was getting ready to gun it over to first. This was interesting, Bob. That's a pretty good weird.
So my what about some interesting numbers from Stats Canada? Now we get numbers about the growth of golf, but I've never seen any from Stats Canada. I've seen them from Golf Canada, but never Stats Canada, which is the official, I guess, stats, whatever you want to go of golf in Canada, of everything in Canada, any kind of statistic you want. But they came up with some numbers that go back to 2022, and they said operating revenue from golf courses in that year grew 9.5% to a record $3.5 billion. $3.5 billion was spent on golf in Canada in 2022. That's almost one-third higher compared to pre-pandemic in 2019. So it's a 31% increase in golf revenue, which is unbelievable. Now, unfortunately, operating expenses also increased at a bit of a faster pace. They went up 14% to $3.1 billion. So the actual margin, the profit margin at golf dropped from 14% to 10% in 2022, but still, it's the third straight year where the profit margin surpassed double digits. So it's still growing like crazy. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you look at it, golf in this country is booming at the golf course level, and it's because of people who, like you and me, and all the people who are listening to this show, that it continues to grow.
Yeah, certainly, and you know, people have the conversations here. You listen to or watch Overdrive on TV. You get a nice day in February. You see some of the outdoor ranges. That goes into March, too. People in this country love this game. And some of those numbers you mentioned there, Bob, that's a true portion of that for sure.
All right, Adam, you now have the tee.
348. Oh, man, that is sweet.
All right, my winner this week is a video that quickly went viral last night after Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry won the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. And to give a bit of a backstory here. So Rory McIlroy admitted that how his partnership came with Shane Lowry was over a, direct quote, drunken lunch after winning the Ryder Cup. And those of us, those listening, those who have played, they probably know what he's talking about. You know, you go and enjoy a few and, oh, let's go play in this event. Yeah, sure, no problem. Generally, it's a member guest or a mixed two ball, whatever that is. But this is a PGA Tour event. What do? They went out and they won. And to kick off their celebrations, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry were both on stage doing a little karaoke. I mean, good on Rory. That's that video that made me laugh. I've watched that about 10 times. I'm sure that's stuck in my head now forever. Bob, what did you think of Rory's performance?
Singing was a little flat, but I give him credit for getting up there. He also missed the second verse. He went right from the first to the third verse. But you know what? But it, all things considered, I thought he was pretty good at get up there and give it a song. We'll have to see if we can get him, coerce him into doing some karaoke when he gets to the RBC Canadian Open here in May, end of May.
Now we're talking. So I asked Jamie Rydell his go-to karaoke song. Bob, for you, if you were egged on, perhaps by me at some point, to go on stage, what would you be belting out?
I would probably belt out something like my Delilah, because then you get everybody singing along with you, right? Or something like that. or something like that where you can get people and drown yourself out. But I have sung karaoke. I've sung that Journey song, Don't Stop Believin', like Rory has. Probably about as bad as Rory has, too.
Is there any video evidence of this?
There is no video evidence of it. There's some video evidence of me singing as a young boy for the Queen of England, which is another story I'll have to get into some other day.
We're going to need a full show to discuss that. Right. And Bob, as you know, we actually, much to my chagrin, we actually played the audio of me doing karaoke,
yes,
doing Sweet Caroline, which, let me tell you, the place was going nuts, maybe because there were other adult beverages being served at the same time, or I was just getting a standing ovation. Hard to really decide what it was there, but hey, you know, good on Rory McIlroy having some fun out there. Hopefully the hangover isn't too bad this morning, but anyway, Rory McIlroy, good on him. Okay, my weird this week goes to some strange comments that Tony Romo actually made. So Tony Romo has said to know Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth very well. And judging by this audio, Tony Romo seems to know Scottie Scheffler and has spent a lot of time with Scottie Scheffler. Let's take a listen.
I don't think I've ever played a round of golf with Scottie Scheffler and him not break 70. Ever. Which is insane. Like, now I'm actually starting to count it, where I'm like, we got to be around 500. And I'm like, not one day you're off in golf where you shoot 70, 71.
500. He claims to have played 500 rounds of golf with Scottie Scheffler. Bob, I have great friends who I golf with every weekend. I've golfed nowhere near 500 times. That seems like a crazy number.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of this phrase that my dad uses, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of times have I told you not to exaggerate? And I just think maybe 500 is a little bit on the big side. I mean, when you consider that Scotty is a full-time professional golfer and traveling, and Romo is a broadcaster, I don't even know if they'd had 500. I mean, how many free days would they have during a year where they would both coincide and both be able to play golf? That's a lot of golf to be played. But regardless, what he is saying is pretty amazing. If it's 50 times and he's played and never broken, never been over you know, 70. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, when I watched that, my jaw was on the floor. I mean, 500, yeah, definitely some exaggeration we would think, but Scottie Scheffler, brilliant for sure. Okay, my what this week, to give a little backstory. So I'm getting ready to go play golf on Saturday morning. I'm looking outside. I'm judging which rain jacket I want to put on. I had the layers ready. And my email goes off. And I look, and it's from Bayview Golf and Country Club, where I'm a member at. And a news letter came out with a news flash, I guess I should say, came out that Cabot Cliffs has hired their new head golf professional, and that's Daniel Tomei from Bayview Golf and Country Club, who is an associate pro with us at Bayview. This is a great hire. This is a guy who has been instrumental for junior golf at Bayview Golf and Country Club. He's a young guy heading over to Cabot Cliffs. We've been to Cabot Cliffs. We played Cabot Cliffs back in October, Bob, and you've been on that property so many times. What should a guy like Daniel be expecting when he steps on the grounds at Cabot Cliffs for the first time, by the way?
Wow, that's a job of a lifetime. That's an amazing place to be. You're going to meet some amazing people. You're going to meet people from all walks of life, from, you know, athletes to business people to regular schmoes like you and me. And it's if he's good at delivering the experience to those people and enhancing it just a little bit, man, he's going to love his job and they're going to love him.
That's a hearty congratulations to Daniel, and Bayview is losing out on someone who's really, really good at their job. Another fun edition of Winners, Weird, and What. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, some leaderboard updates from around the world of golf, and maybe a leaderboard update from the Addy Cup at Pinehurst. I've had a couple of questions about how I played. Will I tell you what I shot? Maybe, but I will tell you that I had a good time. Full recap of that coming up next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Wrapping up this morning's edition of GTC, Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Time for some leaderboard updates. Leaderboard updates brought to you by Bushnell Golf, the number one rangefinder in the world of golf. Check out bushnellgolf.com for much more on that. PGA Tour America's Stuart McDonald, the winner there, the Canadian. The Canadians didn't stop winning there. PGA Tour champion Stephen Ames wins yet again. How about on the Korn Ferry Tour? Canadian Miles Creighton coming up just short. Oh, by the way, he was 27 under par. Came up runner-up finish at the Korn Ferry Tour stop at the Veritex Bank Championship. On the LPGA Tour, Hannah Green wins the JM Eagle LA Championship. And on the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry win the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Now, those noticed last Monday, I was at Pinehurst shooting some stuff for Golf Talk Canada. The Addy Cup, played in the tournament as well. I was not on radio last Wednesday as I was playing golf. And I've had many questions. How did you play? What did you shoot? Well, Bob, last Monday at this time, you probably noticed on our Zoom call, I was in my hotel room. I was trying to activate my body as fast as I humanly can. And I played pretty well during the practice round, but let's just say that I peaked early. We started on the 10th hole. And so standing on 17 tee, I had just successfully two-putted the par 5 16th, which I believe plays as a par 4 for the U.S. Open, which is about 48 days away or so from going on. So I birdied that hole, and I was 2 under par standing on the tee on 17, a par 3, 2 under par. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, here I am. I set the over-under with Bob live on radio at 82.5. Let's just say reality set in after that. I did break 80 in the practice round, so I'll give you that, Bob.
That's pretty good.
I have to say, off the top, I hit our under, which I was pretty impressed with.
That's very impressive around a golf course like that. Now you'll have such a good feel for when the pros get out there, and you can say, well, yeah, I did that shot, and I did that shot. And I will guarantee you that there will be some pros or some entrants, let's say, not necessarily pros, because it could be some AMs, who will not equal your practice round score, and maybe your other round as well. We'll see what happens. The U.S. Open, always the toughest test, and there's always a few fellas who kind of lose control of things out there. And of course, I don't know. I mean, what did you think of the greens? That's always the big talk when you get to a course like a Donald Ross design.
They are jaw-dropping. They are incredibly challenging. So for the practice round, we were playing them, or they told us they're being stimped at 11. Tuesday morning, first round of the tournament. You know, guys, we decided to crank them up a bit to 12. We tucked them a little bit for you too. Okay, awesome. Great. Let's really go out and enjoy that. For the U.S. Open, they're going to run at 14. Okay.
Wow.
So let's just say, Bob, that during our set, or tournament rounds, one at number 2, one at Pinehurst number 4, which held the U.S. Amateur a couple of years ago. Let's just say there was some ping pong going back and forth over one side of the green, over back to the other side of the green, back and forth and back and forth. I shot 85-87 in the final two rounds, and honestly, I didn't play that bad. For me, this is what you're going to be more impressed with. I played 3 rounds of golf. I lost 1 golf ball.
Wow.
For me, that's a huge win, Bob. That's a huge
That's
win.
Big. You kept it on top. I know that the last time they had the U.S. Open there, they'd sort of taken out all the underbrush, so it was a little easier to find. Not necessarily easier to play, but at least you could find your golf ball when you did hit the spray. So maybe that's a bonus for people like you. But yeah, you one's pretty good from the times that I played with you. You don't usually lose a lot, but maybe one or two around. But that's pretty good at that golf course, though, how difficult that is.
Yeah, sometimes I get the spray gun out, missing it left, right. The dispersion goes at an alarmingly
don't
high rate from left to right. But anyway, have to thank our friends from Adidas, Jeff Feltrin, Steve Splavek, the entire team from Adidas, and our pro on our team, Brian McDonald from
Great
Fairview
guy.
Mountain, who, Bob, we got to spend some time with at Whistler back at another Adidas event in 2022. Have to give him a shout-out. He came fourth in the individual pro tournament.
Wow.
He had it going 5-under on his own ball at Pinehurst number 4, a couple bogeys down the stretch. Man, he is fun to watch. And Corey Pellerin as well from Golftown. He was also on our squad. Well, that was such a fun event, and can't wait to get back on the golf course here. And speaking of the golf course, Bob, that's it for us today. Hopefully you get out and play 9 holes with your pop this afternoon. Hopefully the weather holds up.
Fingers crossed. We'll see what we can do.
And we will see you tomorrow night for Golf Talk Canada Television as well. Wednesday, we're back right here at 10 a.m. on the TSN Radio Network. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/Tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.